Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Tuesday night. By the way, World Series going on right now. We touched on it with Howard before he left. I am actually rooting for the Braves in this series. I know it feels weird, like I'm rooting for the Braves. I like this Braves team. I like that they tried the deadline. They actually went out and filled holes and didn't give up and didn't have a if we don't, we don't moment at their trade deadline the way the Phillies did a few years ago. They built that thing the right way. Easy team to, you know, to root for, and I like most of their players. And how about this? Charlie Morton, ex-Philly back in the day. Don't let us ever forget that. Charlie Morton started tonight for the Atlanta Braves. This, since he left the Phillies now, this is the third different team he started a World Series game for. He went to the Astros, became a star pitcher, ended up with Tampa Bay. They went to the World Series last year, pitched for them, and now he's starting game one for the Atlanta Braves. Like, you think Matt Klentak sits around and, like, texts his buddies like, hey, I saw something. I saw something in that Charlie Morton guy. He might. And now all these other teams are seeing it more and better, and he's in the World Series again. Unbelievable. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hit this. Nick Sirianni after the game. Here's how he tried to explain what he was thinking by accepting the penalty and not just putting a 4th and 3 on the field.
Our chart said go for it there. All right, so if it's 4th and 3, 4th and 4, we would have been aggressive and we would have probably went for it right there. I had already accepted the penalty. And then they went down and they hit a 3rd and 13. We can't give up a 3rd and 13. So again, I can't tell you exactly how a team's going to play it offensively. Always like how aggressive they're going to be in that scenario. I felt good about accepting it. I know they converted. We ended up getting the stop after that, but yeah, I just was playing it like I was playing it. Like I would go for it in that scenario. So I thought 3rd and 13 would be better. 3rd and 14 or whatever you said it was 4th and 4 would be better than 4th and 4.
Excuse me, coach. Excuse me. Like, you have a chart for what you do. That's your team. Not everyone has the same chart. Like the fact that he explained it as we would have gone for it there. So I assume they would have gone for it there. It ignores the idea that they weren't going for it there. And that just strikes me as a coach who has these things in his head that are pre-planned. He's not watching the game in front of him. Like, literally not watching the game. Like, and I think head coaches could get caught up. First-time head coaches, play callers. Is he paying attention to the flow of the game? I don't even know. What's the Raiders coach's name again? Bisaccia?
Rich Bisaccia.
Bisaccia. Okay, Bisaccia is a special teams coach, by the way, which made the onside kicks feel even more ridiculous.
He was the special teams coach for the Cowboys for a while.
Bisaccia, yeah, he's been around a long time in the NFL before he got this shot. I mean, there's Rich Bisaccia, who got the job last week, striking as a guy that's going to go for it on 4th down the first quarter. I don't know. I mean, just watch the game in front of you. The punt team was coming on the field. He made the decision already. It's just, that's the kind of stuff. We could argue and yell back and forth about Jalen Hurts and what he is, and is he good enough? Is he going to be the 20th best quarterback in the league, the 25th? Is he a backup? We could have that argument all day. That has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts. That's coaching. Like that is the head coach. It just looks like he's in over his head. Steve's in Wildwood. What's up, Steve?
Joe, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Joe, I want to tackle your topic about Sirianni and if he's a one and done. And here's what we got to do to help me get where I want to go with you here. I'm going to step back from the trees and look at the forest, and I'm also going to get out of the box, okay?
Okay.
And here's why I think he's going to be more than 1 year, because to me, everything that Howie and Jeff are doing here with this guy, and this guy is green and he's clueless, and I agree with you. I mean, I'm ready for him to ask us, you know, how long is a piece of string? You know who asked that question, right?
Who asked that?
Brett Brown.
Yeah.
Remember that? Nick Sirianni is going to ask us that question because that's what Nick Sirianni is. He's our Brett Brown. This is a purposeful tank, Joe. If it's not purposeful, it's understood because this team, I mean, let's face it, it's got to go in the tank, and it is, and we're looking at it. We don't want it to be. We don't like it. We hate it because we want to win. But, folks, it is what it is. It's a tank, and they're tanking, and the coach is a tank, and it's just part of the whole process of doing what you got to do to hit rock bottom and bounce off and draft at the top of the draft for a couple of years, increase your laws of odds and probability to pick great players, which Howie certainly needs, and then you draft those great players, and finally you got some impact players, and you get your quarterback in a year or so, and boom, now you're coming back in the right direction. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you need to do that in the NFL, though. Like, you know, you don't need to have – like, teams don't really do that. It doesn't happen in the NFL. I mean, you don't need to lose on purpose or tank, whatever word we want to use, to get better. I mean, they're going to have three picks within the top 20 or 15 anyway. Like, what regardless of if their pick is, like, 7 or 2 or 11, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. They're going to have three really high picks. That, yeah. They're going to be able to rebuild this team regardless if they win 8 games or 5. It's not going to make that much of a difference.
Well, I think it does over the course of a couple, 2-3 years. Because I think when you look at all the teams, like look at the Chargers, look at the Bills, they all had their down years. For all teams have down years for 2-3 years. You draft at the top, you increase those laws of odds of probability of striking. Yeah, I know the Eagles, they have a great anomaly of a situation where they got three picks, and it looks like with the way the Dolphins are going, right, they're going to have a high pick. Yep. There. Their own pick's going to be high. But to me, I think that they just kind of brought this guy in. What do we have to lose? Where are we really going anyway?
So do you think he's the coach, or do you think he's a lemon that's here to lose on purpose?
I think he's a lemon here to lose on purpose. I hate to say that, but I really do, because how can you be so stupid like this guy is, and they put him in charge if you really – like, what are the odds of winning with this guy? To me, they're none.
Well, you and I agree on that. Right now, it's just some of the things that are going on in these games, it's like, are they practicing all week? What is this?
Exactly. To me, that's why it's almost like you put together such a green staff. You have to know, if you have a little bit of a brain, Howie and Jeff, I'm talking about, you're going to lose a lot of games that maybe if you still have Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz around, you may have won. But you're not, because you realize, and to me, it's not the end of the world. You have to hit rock bottom before you can push up and go in the other direction. Just a theory. I'm not saying I'm right.
Yeah, I hope it's right, because that would make me feel better. Steve, I appreciate it. If this was by design, I don't think it is. I think they like Nick Sirianni. Now, I do believe the Eagles have a certain type of head coach, and it's got to fit a mold, and you know, he fit the mold, so that's why they liked him. Do I think Nick Sirianni was clearly the best candidate last offseason? I don't. I didn't think that then. But I think he fit their mold, which is they wanted a young coach, offensive-minded, pretty agreeable. That's not going to fight back on Howie and Jeff, and that's how they landed on Nick Sirianni. Doesn't mean they didn't like him. I don't think they hired him to lose games, but that I think he was the number one guy for them for their mold. By the way, there was a story yesterday, I guess a report in Jeff McClain's piece, that Brandon Staley, who I like a lot and has done a great job, and he'll be here in 2 weeks with the Chargers, didn't want to come here in part because of Howie Roseman. It doesn't sound unbelievable to me. It sounds believable, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people in the NFL don't want to work with Howie and maybe this front office and whatever and Jeff, but and Brandon Staley was scheduled for an interview. He canceled it after he got the Charger job. So I just wonder what that's all about. Like, if you don't want to work here, why are you accepting interviews? Why are you telling them they'll come for an interview? I don't know. I don't think this is a design tank. I think they're trying. That's part of what makes it frustrating, and part of why I'm worried about Sirianni. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but there are the Freddie Kitchens of the world. There are the Jim Zorns. There are the Jim Tomsulas. These names now roll off the tongue because you remember them, because it's rare. the Steve Wilks. Are there any more in recent years? Those are the ones that stand out to me. Tom Sula, Wilks, Freddie Kitchens was the ultimate. I mean, Freddie Kitchens was, he was pretty bad.
Well, he was the interim coach the year before, right?
Right, so I guess he wasn't a true one and done, but yeah, he got, who was their coach that got fired and then he took over? I can't remember his name now. The Browns had a lot of bad coaches.
He worked for the Raiders for a while.
Not Tom Cable. Who was it? Who did, Freddie Kitchens was the offensive coordinator. It was Baker's rookie year. So it's 2018. Right? Baker's rookie year. Kitchens is the offensive coordinator. They fire the coach. Kitchens takes over. They maybe it was like five or six games he got at the end. Baker played pretty well.
Hugh Jackson.
Yes. And then
who was a one and done in Oakland?
There's another one and done. But he was like, he was crazy. He just like, he was like a power play. He just was nuts to work with. I didn't necessarily think he was a terrible coach. He just was kind of nuts. Though Hugh Jackson did lose a lot of games at Cleveland. But then Freddie Kitchens got the full-time job for 1 year, and then it was painfully obvious through that year. It was like, oh, this guy's got to go. Jim Zorn in Washington was one of them. It happens. And do I think it's a guarantee that Sirianni is one of those guys? No, he's got time. He has 10 more games to play here this season. But I'm watching what looks like a one-and-done coach. Let's talk to Steve in Bensalem. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Steve. What's on your mind tonight?
I agree with you. I think Nick Sirianni is a one-and-done coach. I just don't think he puts together a good game plan, and I think there's no flow to the game. You mentioned that word flow, but I think it's erratic at best, the offense, when they're out there.
It is, and it feels like they'll put together a good drive, and then it'll take them 2 hours to get one more drive, and the game by that time is over. It's like there's no flow, and it never feels, Steve, like his play calling is setting something up. Like, you know, when Doug was at his best, you know, he'd call some plays, and then he'd call a different one later, and, you know, he would kind of set the defense up. It never feels like this guy's doing that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel that way at all. And as far as Jalen Hurts goes, yeah, I think he could be a better quarterback with a better system. But the problem is with that is they're not putting him in the right place to play, you know. They're not putting him in the right place to play these downs and everything. And it's just erratic as far as I see, as far as the quarterback play. And we do need to look at the possibility of drafting a franchise quarterback, since we're going to have a high draft pick.
Yeah, they will, and they should, Steve. And I appreciate the phone call. Look, I like Jalen Hurts, and I continue to say I'm not ready to throw the towel in on Jalen Hurts. But if the Eagles have, and they should have, you know, at least one pick, whether their own or Miami's, that's going to fall within the top six or seven. Miami's could be even better, and the Eagles could be better too. I mean, they could be top five picks. But if they have an opportunity to get a quarterback that is a franchise changer. If there is a quarterback in next year's class that profiles like a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow, sure, like I'll be at the front of the line, take him, because that changed your franchise. What I worry about, and I hope the Eagles don't do this, is force it, right? You know what happens when you force a first round pick quarterback? You get Daniel Jones, you get Dwayne Haskins, you know, you get Sam Darnold. That happens when you force a first round pick quarterback. Like you don't want to do that. I mean, you're not with me on Sam Darnold?
No, I get it.
I just don't want the Eagles to do that. And I don't know. I mean, it's a weird quarterback class. Someone's going to emerge. Kenny Pickett seems to be the name now from Pitt. Maybe he's going to be the guy that emerges.
Dan Marino went to Pitt.
So there's a correlation that we could ride with all offseason. The next Dan Marino from Pitt? I don't know. I mean, I don't want the Eagles to take a quarterback for the hell of taking it. I'd rather take – I mean, there looks like there's impact players in next year's class on the defensive side. Defensive lineman Thibodeau from Oregon just looks like Von Miller all over again. The safety from Notre Dame, Hamilton. I mean, they could upgrade off of Hurts if they want with a veteran. If they're just desperate, they could put Tucker's boy Gardner Minshew in there if they're desperate. I'm not signing up for taking a quarterback for the hell of it. They better be sure that guy's a difference maker. I don't know if they're in next year's class. It's not great.
Especially when he came into the season with Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell as the definitive 1-2.
And they're gone now.
And Spencer Rattler's on the bench, probably going to transfer, and Sam Howell's lost, I think, 3 games right now. He's kind of had an up-and-down year. I mean, it's something where I think the Eagles have been a little cursed, right? Think back to the years where they had high picks. The last one that they truly earned, right, because they traded up in the Carson Wentz draft, was the Lane Johnson pick, when the top pick was E.J. Manuel, right? He was the top quarterback taken at 15 overall,
right,
by Buffalo, and then Geno Smith was the next guy taken in the second round. I mean, The idea is there, right? Like, you don't get up into the top 10 a lot, and normally you do, and you should, if you are that bad, look at quarterback and try to draft a quarterback to improve that position. But if there's no one there, I mean, you can't, like you said, you can't force it. You have to look at this team and realize that there are holes all over the roster. I mean, this team isn't a quarterback away. Think about when Buffalo went up and got Josh Allen. I mean, they made the playoffs the year before. Right. Tyrod Taylor made Pro Bowl, and they decided, you know, that he's good. He's just not where we need to be, and they moved up, and they got Josh Allen, and right now they're a top three team in the AFC.
Yeah, and when you draft a quarterback, the clock starts immediately, especially first-round pick quarterback. That's a great advantage. We saw with the Eagles with Carson Wentz. It was a great advantage. He was cheap, and that's how they built that team in 2017. If the Eagles take a quarterback next year, the clock starts immediately. The clock starts on how quickly until that player, assuming he works out, you know, you have to pay him, and it changes the entire franchise. So, yeah, I mean, I think the old adage used to be get the quarterback first and then figure out the rest. I don't know if that's the way you do it now with the way the CBA works and having to pay these guys. If they can find a true, you know, a player that has top 10 ability at the position, go ahead, take him in the first round. And I'm not going to scream and yell about it because I like Jalen Hurts. I'll say, oh, cool, it's an upgrade. They're better at quarterback. I'm happy. But if they force it and take a kid that's not even that good, instead of taking, you know, legitimate talent on defense that could fix this thing on the defensive line, maybe a safety for the first time in 25 years that could play. A real, you know, they draft, forget Malcolm, he was a free agent, that could play at a high level, a corner. Like, come on. Like, it's, I know the PFF keeps telling me that Slay and Nelson are playing well this year. Those aren't long-term things. Nelson's on a one-year deal. And I mean, even if Slay's having a resurgence this year, and he's been better this year than last, they need a young corner. Like the Stingley kid from LSU, I'd be fine. That'd be great. Like they've spent so many high picks on offense the last, what, 3 years? And just they've ignored defense. And you're seeing it out there.
I think since the drafting of Derek Barnett, they haven't spent a first or second round pick on defense.
And
it's all been offense.
And it shows. Let's talk to Don, who's in Jersey. What's up, Don?
Joe.
Don!
How you doing there, bud?
Good, Don. How are you?
Oh, good. It's funny you talk about Gardner Minshew because after we lose this week,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be taking over. And he'll have the distinction of replacing two of your favorites, Jalen Hurts, and he chased your buddy Foles right out of Jacksonville. Sent him on out-of-town rail.
Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting, yeah, a unique distinction for Gardner.
Well, Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah, he's not, though, but okay.
A backup.
Don, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question about Gardner Minshew?
Sure.
You think he's a good quarterback?
I think he's average.
You think he's an average NFL starting quarterback?
Yeah, average.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question.
Average.
Don, he was drafted in what round?
Sixth.
And then this summer when the Jaguars were moving on, right, because they drafted mm-hmm. they drafted Trevor Lawrence, which that made sense, right?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. The entire league could have had Gardner Minshew. What was his value in the league?
Well, he ran Nick Foles out of
10. No. What was his value in the NFL? When the Jaguars said, we're trading this guy, who wants him? What was the value? What did the Eagles trade for him?
They didn't trade for much.
Yeah, they traded a conditional six. So
right.
you think a middle of the pack starting quarterback in the league is all you can get from him is a sixth round pick?
Well, I think he's as good or better than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but that's fine. He's not a middle of the
and
pack
that,
starting NFL quarterback. There's no,
okay,
no chance.
That's not what I called. But neither is Hurts. You love so much.
Well, why'd you call, Ben? What do you want to talk about?
No. I want to talk about if you still think Hurts is better than Carson Wentz.
I think Hurts at this stage of his career is certainly better than where Carson was at this stage of his career. Sure.
I said right now.
Right now, Carson Wentz is playing better football. Right now, yeah.
So that means that you were wrong.
No, wait, but Don, through 3 weeks of this season, who was playing better football?
Carson Wentz was hurt.
No. Wait. He was on the field.
Through 11 touchdowns
through the first,
and one interception
through the
and
first,
a 106
through,
rating.
Through the first 3 weeks of this year, who was playing better
who
football?
Who cares?
No,
Jalen Hurts cannot play.
There are ebbs and flows to a season, right? So
He had one good game against the worst defense in football. Kansas City.
What about the Atlanta
and he
game?
He played very good against the
Falcons.
So let me.
Carson Wentz was terrible the first three, and he's been good the last four. So
he
I wait. wait.
Not terrible.
Oh, Don. The first 3 weeks.
In a monsoon, no, throwing darts all over the field.
He threw for 100.
Playing without T.Y. Hilton his entire year.
Don, he threw for 106.
Touchdowns.
How many
one
yards?
Interception.
How many yards did he throw for on Sunday? Darts all over the field.
In a monsoon.
Oh my God.
In a monsoon.
Don, so you asked me a question and I answered honestly.
It's killing you that he is going to be elite again. It's.
Oh, my God. Elite?
You can't deal with it.
Don, there is no chance in the world he's elite again. You're this is so – you know what this is like, Don? This is like when he –
He's not playing elite right now. He's not playing elite right now.
This is like what
– He's got a 106 quarterback rating, playing with no offensive line.
Oh, now the Colts offensive line is bad with Quentin Nelson, who's going to the Hall of Fame.
He just came back, Joe. He's been out all year.
And he played on Sunday.
Read the paper, yeah.
What
paper? About the whole year he hasn't had him?
Don, let me ask you a question.
Lost the left tackle. Joe Fisher's playing. Eric, didn't play.
Don, let me ask you a question. You asked me. Wait, let's have a conversation. You asked me.
Okay, sure.
You asked me. Well, son, stop talking. You asked me who's better, been playing better right now. And I said to you the last 4 weeks, no question, Carson Wentz. And you.
No, for this season.
I said to you the last 4 weeks, Carson Wentz is without question play better. The first three, you didn't want to admit that clearly Jalen Hurts was better the first 3 weeks of the season. There are ebbs and flows to a season. Carson Wentz
ebbs
is
and flows.
Yeah, well, wait, isn't that what it's called? Right? The first, if you have one start of a season, that's one thing, and then it changes. That's an ebb and a flow to a season.
I'll make you a bet right now.
Go ahead.
If Carson Wentz, to the charity of your choice, $1,000, and I'll come up there right now with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz will have a far, far superior season to Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts
is not even going to be the starting quarterback in another few weeks.
Okay.
You know that.
No, I don't know that. And I think it'd be ridiculous if he's not. I don't know that. Neither do you. And I think it'd be
Who's
ridiculous.
Carson Wentz's right tackle?
Carson Wentz's right tackle? Matt Pryor, right? Why is that funny?
Matt Pryor? Are you the same guy on the Eagles that can't play?
So what is that? Well, like, why do I think Matt Pryor is funny? I don't get it.
It's not even stopping him from playing fantastic.
Don, did you watch the game? Holy hell! Fantastic football on Sunday. How many times did he throw the ball? How many times did he throw the ball to the Niners on Sunday and they dropped it? Four.
In a monsoon.
Oh my God! This is like when he was here and he would manage the game and people would think he's elite.
How about the Ravens when he threw for like 500 yards?
And fumbled and gave away possession and lost. I remember the game. Yeah,
who should have won that game if they had a kicker?
Who lost? They lost, right? They lost the game.
Who should have won?
So what is your point? That he's playing well right now? And I said he is.
My point is that I resent you.
Why?
Because you will not give him credit for that Super Bowl win.
He didn't play in the game.
We don't even get there. Don't get that through your head.
Don.
If he didn't play MVP, we don't get to the Super Bowl.
He didn't play in the game. Why is that so hard for you to acknowledge? He didn't play in the game. What do you want me to do about it?
Right, but give him some credit. Give him no credit.
Don, he played well that entire
season. He had one bad year.
He played well. You asked me to give him credit. Are you ready to shut up and listen? He played great the entire season, and then he got hurt, and he didn't play in the playoffs. Why do you care about this 4 years later? What's wrong with you?
Because he helped me get my Super Bowl that I never thought that I was ever going to see.
And that's awesome. That's awesome.
And you saw four Super Bowls with your Giants, okay? I never got one as an Eagle fan before Carson came along.
That's wonderful. I'm not a Giants fan.
Okay.
You love to do this, man, and I appreciate your phone call. I was so happy the night the Eagles won with Nick Foles as their quarterback, and I don't think they would have won if Carson was their quarterback. Don, I appreciate the phone call. The love fest for Carson Wentz winning three games with the Colts so far is unbelievable. Why do I care? The question is, why does anyone here care besides him playing enough snaps to get a first round pick? Like, that's the part that I don't understand. Like, Carson Wentz didn't want to be here anymore. He made that quite clear. He asked out of here. Like, the fact that some people here are cheering for Carson Wentz is beyond me. Last year, he was the worst quarterback in pro football. That's the truth. In 2017, he was one of the best. Last year was one of the worst. And he had up and down in between years the rest he was here, right? That's what his career was. He helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl. There's no doubt. Who ever said he didn't? He just didn't play in the playoffs. That's the reality of it. I just don't understand, like, the guy that calls in happy that Carson Wentz is playing well. Who cares? Why do you care other than he's playing well enough to stay on the field? The Eagles picks attached to the Colts. Don't you want him to lose games? Like, Tucker, it's beyond me.
What's beyond me is Carson Wentz forced his way out of Philadelphia. Is it right to say that?
Yes.
If the Eagles fired Doug Peterson because Carson Wentz said, I can't play with that coach.
Yes.
And then he still forced his way out.
Yes.
And now people cheer for him. Whereas Ben Simmons is doing a similar sort of thing. Wouldn't you say? He's disgruntled. He's trying to force his way to Philadelphia.
Yep.
He's the number one villain in the city right now. But Carson Wentz, who hasn't beaten a starting quarterback in over 2 years, right? You look at the quarterbacks he's beating Jimmy Garoppolo, who was benched for Trey Lance. He's beating Davis Mills, who's a backup to Tyrod Taylor. He beat Jacoby Brissett, who backs up Tua Tagovailoa.
Yep.
He beat up Ben DiNucci, who was a third-string quarterback for the Cowboys, who was backing up Andy Dalton. Beat up Daniel Jones, who's just an absolute train wreck. Beat up Nick Mullins, who isn't even in the NFL now. Like, those are the quarterbacks that Carson Wentz is beating right now. It's insane to me. Like, the guy, I get it. He played well. I thought he was impressive in the Baltimore game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not winning. And the fact that he forced his way out of town and, you know, spit on the city of Philadelphia on his way out and everyone still cheers for him is wild.
It's beyond me. I just don't understand it. Like, if he plays well, good for him. Like, I don't care. I don't expect it to continue. I don't think there's a chance he'll ever be an elite quarterback, and his athleticism is not where it needs to be to make up for his other shortcomings. That's the reality of his career. If you want to wear your Carson Wentz jersey and root for the guy, be my guest. Like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. It's bizarre. Like, the people that hang on to it, like, you see that Carson Wentz completed a pass, screw you! Like, what? Huh? Like, what? Why? Like, why are you so happy that he's doing well? He didn't want to be on your football team anymore. Like, that's the reality of it. He looked at this city and said, I don't want to be there anymore. That's not on me. That's on him and the Eagles. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll come back. We'll talk to a guest for Pro Football Focus. All your phone calls. And we'll chat about Nick Sirianni, who I think looks like a one-and-done football coach on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NFL season is approaching the halfway point, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, has a little something different offer for this Sunday night matchup between Dallas and Minnesota, because FanDuel's giving new customers 25-1 odds on any touchdown scored in the game. That means you could end the NFL Sunday right by winning $125 on a $5 bet. Look, the Dallas team has been unbelievable this year, but Minnesota getting points at home, I like that side of this, and I like Kirk Cousins have a big game for Minnesota. Offers like this, just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, it's secure. And look, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up promo code Jillio the week before the Sinai matchup. You could win $125 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code Jillio so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.